it's time for our final live edition of the Burning River Sportscast. Browns 20, Bengals 18. Browns finish the season with a dub.
You tried real hard to miss your cue there.
It was my, it all got.
It's the up. End of the season. You're on top of your game, you know?
That's right.
Yeah. You can find our podcast wherever you get your podcast. I'm talking Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Music, YouTube Music, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Pocket Cast, Castro, Good Pods. We're your number one ranked football podcast, and so many more. While you're at it, please leave us a review on your preferred podcast app. It really helps us grow and get seen. And don't forget to subscribe on YouTube, the only place you can find our video podcast. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Our handle for all the socials at Burning River Sportscast. We are on X as well at the handle at Burning River Pod. While you're at it, check out our merch, www.thetappinmedia.com/shop. All kinds of stuff in there. You didn't wear it. I thought you would wear it, but you got our Cincinnati is in Kentucky gear. Make sure you grab one of those t-shirts. We got River. Make sure you get some of that stuff. But
Thank you, River.
Before we get started, I want to give a quick shout out to some of our sponsors, Topaz Distillery. Topaz Distillery, an award-winning craft distillery located in Akron, Ohio. Topaz Distillery focuses on high-quality spirits carefully made in small batches. Topaz Distillery, handcrafted, award-winning, small batch, local, and family-owned. And Primetime Sports and Framing, with locations in Hartville, Streetsboro, Belden Village, Great Northern, and Kent, they are easily accessible wherever you are in Northeast Ohio. With the best selection in autographed collectibles and world-class framing operation, they are your go-to for officially licensed memorabilia. Primetime Sports and Framing.
You name it, they frame it.
They do. And they provided the jersey and everything else that we gave away this year, so thank you to them. But on today's show, this is what you can look forward to. We got a recap of today's Week 18 win over the Bengals. Are we on a winning streak?
Two games.
Dang. It's going to be however many days. It's going to be like 280 days since we lost a game.
We are undefeated in 2026.
Yep. We can't lose a game until September.
That's right.
But anyways, closer look at everything. Offense, defense, special teams, our nominees for Dog of the Week. Myles Garrett gets it done and is the new sack king. QB and coaching talk, because obviously these are the two stories that are going to matter for the foreseeable future. And then I'm sure there's going to be more, but let's get things started by reminding everyone to call the Burning River Sportscast Hot Take Hotline.
Call the hotline. Call that.
Call the Hot Take Hotline. Where's the number at? You don't want it? There it is. Don't forget to call and leave your hot takes on the Hot Take Hotline. If you're joining us live tonight, we appreciate you being in, but we also want you to give the Hot Take Hotline a call us know. Yeah, give us your hot takes. We'll put them on the air, and we'll talk about them on Thursday. So,
yeah.
Let's see here. We got anybody joining us yet? My chat's all messed up here. James, I went offline for a second. I was like frozen. I don't know.
Yeah, that was weird.
Waiting for it to catch up. I don't really know what's going on. Live shows. We love live shows.
I was just saying, I hate live shows.
Yeah. I'm like watching the feed and it's terrible. It's real bad on my end. I don't know what's going on. But anyways, week 18 recap. Let's go ahead and get things started with the special teams. Is there any special teams blunders?
I was mostly clean today. You know, Schmidt had the full circle moment of redemption. You know, obviously struggled in week one against Cincinnati. And then
wait,
had
freeze. Before you get into the game, I just want to call out Hippie Picks is joining us here. He went to the game today. He had free tickets that he got from a family member as a gift, I think. I don't really know what happened, but he got tickets as a gift. And then he also offered us some tickets. We really appreciate that. We unfortunately were not able to make it. Cincinnati is not close to
Cleveland. No, it's all the way in Kentucky.
Yeah, it's in Kentucky, and he's you know, he lives in Northern Kentucky, so it's pretty close for him. Not close for us, but we appreciate that. That was an awesome gesture, and what a game to go to. I mean, it was fantastic. And he sent us pictures. He's got pictures hugging David Njoku and kind of talking to some of the guys before the game. So it was pretty cool.
Is he the guy that got his stomach signed by Njoku?
I don't know. Hippie, did you get your stomach signed by David Njoku? Let us know in the comments here. But yeah, just a shout out. Go ahead with your special teams.
Yeah, thanks for interrupting my podcast.
I had to.
No, I was just saying it was a nice full circle moment for Schmidt. Struggled in week one, lost us the game essentially on the kicks there. And for him to have a chance to close it out today was nice. So good on Schmidt. Whether he's the long-term answer at kicker, I guess we'll see. But he's certainly passable as an NFL kicker at this point, and I think you can roll them into next year. So good moment.
Your complaint about him all season long has been he's kind of progressed. We didn't really talk about him much, and then finally in our last episode, I think it was, you said, look, I'm good with him. He did well. He kind of came back throughout the season, and he was whatever his percentage ended up. It was like 85-87% on the season, whatever it was. And I think your quote was, do I want him kicking at the end of the game when the game's on the line? No, but I think he's serviceable. Does this do anything to help with that?
I mean, the good thing was that because of the personal foul or unsportsmanlike penalties on both defensive touchdowns, he had a good amount of practice from near 50 before he had to kick the game winner. So,
yeah.
But yeah, no, I feel fine. Like, I have a lot more confidence in him now than I did at the start of the year. He had a good season outside of the misses early. And that's a good call out by James Frank on the special teams blunder of the day, which was Larva Dane fielding the ball inside the 10 and to make something happen. And it looked for a minute like he had a little bit of a seam and was going to at least get it out to like the 12 or the 15 and then decided he was going to run backwards. So that was a bad job out of him.
As one does when they make terrible decisions fielding punts.
And apparently Hippie did not get his stomach sign. So
dang.
Bad job out of you, Hippie.
Disappointed. Thanks for offering us tickets. What is wrong with you?
The video of Njoku when he realized that the guy wanted his belly signed, he went up for the autograph and Njoku, and he put his belly out and Njoku was like visibly disturbed by it.
He's like, what is wrong with this guy? All right,
but then he signed it anyway.
As one does. as far as special teams though, like you said, Larva Dane with the blunder fielding the punt, but back to Schmidt. I was pleasantly surprised with him all season long. I mean, obviously he lost that first game, but beyond that, you said it, he developed well throughout the entire season. He's looked good. I'm actually excited that they somehow seem to have found a kicker on the cheap going into next season. So, and he's young. Yeah,
I mean, kicker's one of those things, right? We see these guys have slumps and, they're good for a while. So it's one of the hardest
positions. It could all change tomorrow.
It's one of the hardest positions in sports because it's just such a fickle tolerance for guys that have misses. And you can get yourself fired in 1 week in the NFL as a kicker. So,
never good.
As long as he keeps making them, he'll stay employed. He'll
be employed, yeah. So let's go ahead. You want to go to offense or defense first? You want to save defense for the end?
Sure.
You don't seem enthused about anything. You do know the Browns won today, right? Did you forget?
It's been a long year, okay?
It has been a long year. We'll start with Shedeur Sanders. We'll get into QB talk right away. I know a lot of people were going to kind of shit all over Shedeur Sanders. He was 11 for 22. 111 yards, including what was it, seven? I forget what he had in the first. It doesn't matter. You split up the halves, it doesn't matter. You're looking at like 60 yards a half, so 55 yards a half. So he, passing game wasn't great in general. Six sacks today, and then he had a lost fumble, three rushes for 26 yards. But I think the big thing is, did they win the game?
And they won the game, yeah.
And he got the ball back with, what was it, a minute and like 12 left or a minute and 30 left, whatever it was. And he was able to get them into field goal range, completing a couple passes, and they kicked the game winner. So,
yeah.
I mean, when it counted, he was much better. He tightened things up, and he looked decent. There were some things, obviously, that are concerning, I would say, just about the game in general. But when you're watching a Cleveland Browns game, when is there not concerning things?
I didn't have a huge problem with his game today. He didn't play well, particularly. I mean, obviously the box score doesn't reflect a solid day at the office, but I know there were people all over him during the first half. I mean, you even at one point in the first half texted us and said you had some concerns, and I was kind of like, they had such limited opportunity in that first half. And keep in mind, the offensive line is garbage. The wide receivers are garbage. The running backs are garbage. What did we expect? Did we expect he was going to go out there and light it up? Like, this, the same problems we've had all year long still exist. Yeah. And he just had such limited opportunity. They didn't hold the ball for a whole lot. I think at the end of the first half, our leading rusher had 7 yards. So you can get all over Shedeur Sanders and say, like, oh, he didn't play good enough to win. It's not like any other facet of the game was doing well. And they clearly made some adjustments at halftime. They came out with a no huddle that seemed to help him get into a little bit of a rhythm. They were able to move the ball some in the second half, which was good. He had a couple of passes that, you know, were ill advised and kind of put up into coverage today. But every quarterback throws those in every game. So, I mean, there was nothing today that was overtly concerning. Obviously put the ball on the ground in the first half on the fumble, but those things happen. It's football. At the end of the day, the one thing I've been waiting on Shedeur to do, which we saw today, which is in a leverage situation where the game is on the line, can he move the offense and get the ball down the field and score to win the game? And we haven't really been in those situations all year. Today was kind of a first. So good moment of growth for him, and yep, it was good to see him move the ball, and they did get the ball into field goal range and were able to kick it and win. So, what else do you want your rookie quarterback to do given the supporting cast? There's just not a lot out there that was possible. I mean, at least up until last week, you had Harold Fannin, who was at least able to catch the ball. You eliminate him today, and you've got guys that I've never heard. I mean, Blake Whitehart is out there catching passes. Sam Cannella can't catch a pass. Just a who's who of no one out there, which, you know, some of that, you know, you attrition throughout the year, you're going to have guys go down. But this was a particularly bad supporting cast today, and he did enough to win the game. And it goes back to the analytics discussions that we continue to have, which are, hey, there's all these things you can look and measure quarterbacks and say, hey, they're cute. Their ratings are poor. Their EPA is poor. All these things. He was ranked dead last out of quarterbacks today. The only one that really matters in the NFL, did he win? And Shedeur Sanders has 7 starts in his rookie season and won 3 of them. I understand that that's not a very high bar, but that's the bar in Cleveland. He won 3 out of his 7 starts. And I think if he had a full year under his belt, if he had been the starter on week 1, he probably very reasonably would assume 5 to 6, I think, given some of the losses we had to not very good teams. And if you look at that then big picture and you say, well, I mean, where did the Titans finish the year? The Titans finished with 3 wins. They have no qualms about building around Cam Ward going forward. The Raiders had 3 wins. Right. The Jets had 3 wins. The Giants, Jackson Dart, had 4 wins out of the 12 games that he started. So if we're looking around, you know, hey, this guy in 7 starts had as many wins as some whole franchises and certainly was keeping pace with the other rookies that are going to get a shot to lead teams going into next year. I don't know that he could have done a whole lot else. He's also playing not only with the worst supporting cast in football, but maybe with the worst offensive coaching staff in football, which is well documented. Even today, you know, they get another win, but it was a 20-point game, and the defense scored 12 of them. The offensive schemes are poor. You just don't have a lot of weapons and a lot of opportunity to be good in this offense. And here's the other thing. You lost to this team earlier in the year. You lost to the Cincinnati Bengals. Today you get a win with Shedeur at the helm. Shedeur has now won back-to-back games against division rivals, against teams that won more games than you did this year. So I don't know what else this kid could do given all the other circumstances to impress anyone short of, you know, just being a miracle worker and going out there and winning every game. It's just not a realistic expectation in the NFL for a rookie quarterback to come in and do that. Jaden Daniels or whatever a year ago, like that was the anomaly. Peyton Manning had a bad rookie season. Troy Aikman had a bad rookie season. I'm not even saying he's one of those guys. I'm just saying it's normal for even good quarterbacks to not be very productive their rookie year. And 3 wins, I'll take that in 7 starts.
I just started grinning because you got on one of your rants and I sat back and listened. Yeah, I mean, you made a lot of good points in there. I actually have in our notes here for Shedeur Sanders, not that I'm making excuses for him, because to me, if you can't see that comparing him to even Dylan Gabriel at this point is pointless because of the supporting cast around him and what Dylan Gabriel had, what Dylan Gabriel was able to get as far as practice reps, those types of, it's just not the same thing. They're two completely different situations earlier in the year to now. Shedeur Sanders down to tight end 3 and tight end 4, down to RB2, RB3, RB4. Only wide receiver of note is Jerry Jeudy, and I say of note because he is the only wide receiver to lead or be ranked high in any stat category whatsoever at the position. Bad thing about that stat category, it drops at 10, leading the league coming into this one. So, and then obviously your offensive line, I mean, most of them, I think almost all of them are backups. Then you've got one with Wyatt Teller that finished the year on IR, even though he wasn't hurt. So, like,
And then you hit center number 3 today. Yeah. Zinter
Whipler went down, and game.
And he's god awful. So, it was terrible. Yeah, just not a good supporting cast. I don't, the expectations for this offense to do much are just not very good. James Frank had a good call out there, which was he did have a really nice pass towards in the second half there that was dropped in the end zone. So, you know, you still are seeing those flashes of like, this guy has an NFL arm. He's just not on a team that has a lot of NFL players on it.
Yeah.
At least the offense.
And he did trip at one point today.
He did trip.
And then they went immediately.
The grass monster got him.
They went immediately to Jimmy Haslam, but he was just like, just his head down, like, what in the world? So that was kind of funny. But I don't think it really, nothing to read into. It was just a funny moment, like, just a bad timing for the cameras. But yeah, I mean, Shedeur, I still like this game and the struggles that were had this game because of all of the circumstances surrounding it. It doesn't change my opinion whatsoever that we need to roll with him next year, build around him, build the team, and not necessarily like you're building around him. I think we need to figure out what we have long term with him by giving him a full season to start. But you start building the team. You get those offensive linemen, those wide receivers. You fill in some other holes where you can in the draft and free agency, and you see what you can do next year. Because, look, I know that we talk about Andrew Berry all the time and how he punched us in the face for years, and then he finally got one draft right, and we're like, oh, look at this guy. He's great. The fact of the matter is, if you haven't read anything this week, and especially today, it's basically the consensus that Kevin Stefanski is going to be gone and Andrew Berry is going to be back. And so Andrew Berry, benefit of the doubt, simply because we know he's probably going to be back. Hopefully you nail another draft and we're talking about making huge steps forward next year. And if Shedeur Sanders does play well, then you're all set, because you got a fifth rounder that you're paying nothing for the first 4 years at quarterback.
Yeah. And I have a huge problem with the idea that there's some kind of split accountability here, that Andrew Berry can survive this with Kevin Stefanski going down. Now that I want to keep Kevin. But if
you love Kevin, you've been on a Kevin love fest for the past 2 weeks.
If one guy's going to go, I think both should go. I don't know how you live beyond the Deshaun Watson deal. And I guess the only thing that I can say that is worse than that is Kevin probably staking his reputation and his name on draft night on Dylan Gabriel, saying he's the guy that fits my offense. He's the guy I want. We gave it a shot. You saw how freaking awful that was. And you saw that at least Shedeur looks the part to be able to be a competent player. What's his ceiling long-term? Who knows? But he can operate an NFL offense, whereas Dylan very clearly cannot. And if that's the final nail in Kevin's
coffin, people will argue with you on that. They say that Dylan's efficiency numbers are so much better.
And a lot of that is because Dylan got chances to throw the ball in the red zone where Shedeur didn't. We ran a lot of wildcat in goal to go situations and that. So Dylan's touchdown to interception ratio is better. And Shador's touchdown to interception ratio has been kind of negatively impacted by some passes that, really shouldn't have been interceptions, or at least were in receivers' hands or bounced off of receivers. Something weird happened. I think if you pull about three of those out of the equation, that, you know, certainly the one where Jerry Jeudy handed the ball to the guy, a couple of the other bobbles that were tip drills, you know, that his numbers ultimately don't look all that bad for a rookie. But I digress. They are what they are. He has 8 total touchdowns, 10 interceptions. It's not good. So, but Dillon Gabriel, I mean, we all know, is not an NFL quarterback.
Yeah. Anybody that is trying to still fight that battle, probably just doesn't like Shedeur Sanders is the biggest thing. Yeah. Because if you're going to try and tell me that Dillon Gabriel has any shot of being the future of this team, you're sadly mistaken.
That's a good call out, James. Shedeur didn't need to be in the red zone for guys to get touchdowns. That's true.
He's able to throw the ball over 20 yards.
He can throw the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, the coaching part of it, I don't know if we want to get into that now or we want to move that to the end here.
Well, there was very little else to talk about on this offense. Do you want to talk about our leading rusher with, you know, 32 yards or 32 whatever?
Yards, I mean, yeah. Let's throw out some of the box score here. We could do that. The leading rusher was Dillon Sampson, 10 rushes for 32 yards. That's 3.2 yards a carry. Followed by Shedeur Sanders, 3 for 26, and Raheem Sanders, 5 for 26, and then Malachi Corley, 3 for 18. But on the day, as a team, we had 118 yards rushing, so not a great effort. And then obviously 111 yards passing. So we basically had no offense. And the weird thing to me, and this is actually where I was going with it, is not that I'm trying to hate on Tommy Rees here. I'm really not trying to say anything bad about Tommy Rees as far as whether or not we should keep him or not. All the reports that are coming out right now are that they want to, at all costs, hold on to Tommy Rees, and they might even give him some interviews for the head coaching job, which I find to be just baffling, given the fact that this offense has been so bad. Now, I do know this is Kevin Stefanski's offense. I understand that. But even still, to have your name stamped as the OC on this offense this year, and then to immediately get head coaching interviews, even is just wild to me.
It's not a resume builder.
No, like, and again, I'm not hating on Tommy Rees. I'm just saying, like, we probably should have him as the offensive coordinator for maybe another year or two, and that's pretty hard when you're like, it's hard to just replace your head coach, so it's not going to happen. But
yeah, look, I mean, it's Sunday. We're 5 hours after the game. You know, Raheem Morris has already been let go in Atlanta. We'll see. I still think there's a small chance that they retain Kevin Stefanski for one more season. But, you know, he hasn't been fired just yet, so we don't know what direction they're going to go. I mean, obviously, there's a million reports out there. I saw reports about Shorts getting an opportunity, Tommy Rees getting an opportunity, Marcus Freeman out from Notre Dame. I mean, rumor mill is strong. So we'll see what happens. We kind of got to wait for it to happen. But look, I mean, there almost has to be change because it's just so bad. I thought it's been an interesting kind of 24 to 48 hours because there's been a lot of player conversations and questions directed to players before the game about, you know, if this is Stefanski's last game, what happens? And even post game today, you know, how do you feel about moving forward? And
which,
you
know, might I point out, Shedeur Sanders shined again in that. For all the people that hate Shedeur Sanders and think he says all the wrong things all the time, stood up for Stefanski and basically said, look, we've had some good conversations and he's been tough, but he's been good.
But what I thought was really telling about that whole thing is I think there was a lot more to that response than was on the surface, because what he said was that this week he and Stefanski had a heart-to-heart of sorts and feels like they finally understand each other, like they were finally on the same page.
Kind of like we've been at odds for this whole
season. Kind of like we've been at odds all season. Kind of like there was always some kind of subtle, under mutual understanding that he didn't like me and I wasn't sure why. And we hashed it out this week because it was probably the last chance that we were going to have. And now we're finally on the same page. In week 18, your quarterback and your head coach are on the same page. Just another example of the failures of Kevin Stefanski's leadership. Look, there's a lot of defenders out there for Kevin Stefanski still. Oh, he's going to go and coach somewhere else and he'll be successful. He's going to be the hottest candidate out there. He's a good play caller. He's a good offensive mind. That may all very well be true. He may be a very intelligent guy. He may know a lot about NFL offenses. But I'm sorry, as the head coach of an NFL franchise, your job is not to know a lot about offense. It's a leadership position. It's a CEO equivalent position. You have to be in charge. You're in charge of grown men with egos. You're in charge of administrative staff, support staff, equipment staff, healthcare staff, all of your coaching. You, the buck starts and ends with you. And if you don't have those other traits, you can't motivate guys in season. You can't have these conversations with players to get on the same page during the year or before the year. Jesus, not even during the year, before the, like, these things should be hashed out already. And good leaders do that. He is none of those things. So even if he is a gifted play caller and a gifted offensive mind, he is a lackluster CEO leader type individual who doesn't have the skill set required to be a successful NFL head coach.
Yeah, totally agree there. Go ahead and highlight James Franks' last comment here. Marcus Freeman may have said that, but they all say that until they get offered an NFL job. So, not that I'm saying I want Marcus Freeman. I absolutely do not. I don't want anybody that is coming from Notre Dame's organization. I don't want him.
If it was Marcus Freeman or Kevin Stefanski, where do you land?
Marcus Freeman.
Okay. That's about that.
If that's what I have to choose from, I'm in.
You know what they always say, like, talk is cheap, right? These guys can say anything they want right now. And frankly, if I'm a college coach in the world of NIL, where a third of the players have already declared for the transfer portal, and I'm worried that, hey, if I don't know what I'm going to do, I have to say I'm coming back because I don't want my players to get spooked and head to the transfer portal on Monday. So he has to say that regardless of what's going to happen. But I have a feeling that if the right offer came with the right number of dollar signs, you pretty much change anybody's mind.
Yeah, I agree. But remember, anybody that's out there thinking Marcus Freeman is the answer, this is the guy who his organization as a whole is throwing a collective temper tantrum right now because they didn't make the playoffs. So,
yeah. Be my first choice. He was just one of the guys I saw in recently. Yeah.
Remember when Ohio State beat Notre Dame in the national championship game and one of our employees quit because I made fun of him? That happened.
The temperament of a Notre Dame fan.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go ahead and go over to the defense here. We talked about coaching, and obviously Jim Schwartz has the defense playing at a high level. They have been all season. I think they're going to finish as the number one or number two defense again this year, which is phenomenal, especially given you won five games. The fact that this team was so bad and the defense was still able to play at that level throughout the entire season is just phenomenal, because as a player, I'm sure as the season progressed, you know, those guys got to be getting dejected and getting kind of like down. And, you know, it gets hard to play. It gets hard to get up for a game every game after your team lets you down that many times.
Well, yeah, there's a human element to this, right? We've talked to John Hughes at length about this on our show on a week to week basis, which is when the offense isn't doing their job and you're on the field for 2/3 of the game and your offense can't move the football, it's incredibly frustrating. And, it's one of those things that the longer the season goes on, the more it wears on you. And, Michael Strahan, in his very ungracious congratulations to, Myles Garrett, kind of talked about that. He said, look, he kind of talked about, after he kind of, brushed off the fact that Myles is now the sack leader. He said, look, what he does is different than what most guys are faced with, because they're not playing with the lead a lot of the times. This is a bad football team. They're always trying to play catch up. Teams don't have to throw the ball against them. So, you know, there was some at least acknowledgement that, like, hey, this kid is a really special player. And what he's doing is truly historic. Even though he failed to accept that he's the new sack leader because he said he did it in 17 games and not 16, even though it required far less pass attempts for him to do it than Strahan. Strahan still insists that it's two separate things, which I just, if anyone's looking at the numbers, I mean, I saw Andrew Filippone out in Pittsburgh saying the same stuff. You can say 17 games all you want, but at the end of the day, like it's pass attempts or rush attempts that you even have an opportunity, and he's done it in far less, even though it took longer and more games. So to me, that's the great equalizer there. This is very different than the times when, you know, quarterbacks were, you know, and we have running backs that had 12 games in a season. 16 to 17 is not that big of a difference. And the fact is he's still at a way higher efficiency rate than those guys.
Absolutely. Once again, I'm going to apologize for my internet problems. I don't know what's happening here, but, I just keep being blurry. So just deal with it.
It's probably for the best. We don't really want to see your face.
Yeah. I got a face for radio. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the defense overall though, just phenomenal this year. I think it bodes well for Jim Schwartz's chances to get it, not only get an interview, but potentially, be able to land as the next head coach. Cause if they're trying to keep at least a modicum of stability, going into next season, I mean, that's not a bad move, right? You go to the guy that has been here. His unit has been just dominating nonstop. I mean, it's a pretty good option if you ask me. So,
I mean, this team badly needs a full reset, but I don't know that we're going to get that, especially if Andrew Berry sticks around. So, sure. I mean, whatever. Stability for stability's sake. I don't dislike Jim Schwartz. I very much like Jim Schwartz. And I think that he would be on my short list of guys that I would interview for sure. But I don't know. At the very least on the offensive side of the ball, this team needs wholesale changes to remake the entire offense. So is Jim Schwartz the guy for that? I don't know.
Yeah. But anyways, getting into the rest of the defense, since you don't like Jim Schwartz and you want him gone, apparently.
Not what I said.
I mean, I'll talk about one other guy before I talk about Myles Garrett. Obviously, Myles Garrett's the big story today. But I want to talk about Devin Bush. 14 tackles today, 6 solo tackles, a pass defense, and an interception for a touchdown. I mean, the dude was unreal today. I don't know. I mean, he's been playing fairly well for a while, but pretty much all season. But that was, I mean, he was on a whole other level today. It was insane to see.
He's played really well all year. I mean, he's got well over 100 tackles on the season. It feels like he's definitely been one of the keystone pieces of this defense all year long. So I think he's on an expiring contract. It would be a shame if he weren't back next year. So I think that would be one of the priorities going into the offseason, is making sure you have him locked down, because he's been a really nice piece, and today he had one of the longest passing touchdown receptions in Cleveland Browns history. So,
yep, and then
got to keep that guy.
Yep, and then the what was the other return touchdown we had today?
It was by backup defensive back, I think. Sam, what was his name?
Why is it not showing up in the stats? That's wild. I'm on the box score on ESPN, and it's not even showing up in the box score. I don't know why. But two defensive touchdowns today, which we don't get very often, so that was awesome to see. And badly needed, obviously. The offense wasn't doing much, so.
Yeah, I mean, the 12 points on the defense today is good. It was very much badly needed. Not good too. I mean, again, thinking about just supporting cast, right, and success of the program in general. To start the second half, you had I don't even know if it was the second half, might have been earlier in the game. You had Ward go out and Campbell go out, so you lost both your starting corners at some point there, and you were playing against one of the NFL's premier quarterbacks and wide receiver tandems without two of your best defensive backs on the field. So for the defense to hold Cincinnati to 18 points today overall. Phenomenal day. And you know, just in general, keeping Joe Burrow down and not giving up a lot on the ground. This team's been victimized on the ground all year long. I think Cincinnati finished, if I am not mistaken, under 100 yards rushing today, maybe, or were they over? I could have lied there. Chase Brown at 72, so they were probably over. So, but still, we've seen teams run away on this Browns team this year a little bit. It's been kind of the one downside to this defense all year long is they've struggled to stop the run. So, Sam Webb.
Yeah, you gotta keep going. I gotta reset my internet.
Oh, good. Ronnie James is dead.
yeah, fun time.
Yeah. Anyways, I mean, good day by the defense. I'll talk about, you know, to not belabor the point on Kevin Stefanski, but the first touchdown we had the, I don't know, was that Marshawn Lynch's celebration when he dove into the end zone. Devin Bush did the backwards crotch grab. And you got the personal foul that backed up the extra point. To then go back to back on them to have the return touchdown, also go through with the exact same celebration, like, just continues to be an illustration of the lack of accountability and leadership and just the vacuum of leadership that occurs on a Kevin Stefanski led football team. To literally do the exact same thing that hurt your team previously. So, I mean, that should have been, you know, Stefanski, Schwartz, Andre Schmidt should have been pissed off about that, but, just can't do it. But the fact that these guys feel like they can, and because it's the last game of the season and we're not playing for anything and we're going to goof off, just speaks to the overall lack of accountability, and lack of leadership on this team, which we continue to see week to week to week. Look, I'm not saying that the touchdown celebrations aren't cool. The NFL has, you know, clamped down on what they're going to call penalties on this year. So I am certainly not a touchdown celebration prude. I would love to see more of that stuff, but the fact is in today's NFL, you do get flagged for those things. So, you have to be smart, and there's other ways that you can celebrate. I mean, we've seen some ridiculous flags thrown all year long on celebrations that, you know, frankly shouldn't have been, but it's how the NFL is officiating it this year. So, you have to be smart. And while I didn't enjoy the actual celebrations themselves personally, if I was the player on that team, especially on that special teams unit that has struggled this year, if I'm the kicker, especially, to have to kick my extra points from almost 50 yards. Yeah. I'd be pissed off about that. And I think he'd have a right to be. But it's just a dumb penalty, right? It's a dumb thing. It's unnecessary, unforced errors. And this team does that every week, not grabs their crotch in the end zone, but it has unforced errors. And you just can't do it. You can't win football games and intentionally hurt yourself. Hippie's saying, what are you saying here? Let's see. The back dive on the touchdown. Yeah. yeah, again, cool celebrations, very athletic. but overall, you just can't continue to do things that hurt the team. So I don't know what happened to Red Hot Ronnie James. He apparently died here. I'm just rolling solo right now. Anybody want to call in and talk? Guess we're just killing time here till he gets back, because we were about finished up here. Otherwise, I guess, anybody have dog of the week nominees in the comments, outside of Myles Garrett for breaking the sack record? Anybody, see anybody else of note today? Because I sure didn't. I would have to go with Myles Garrett for my dog of the week nominee. I don't see anyone else, so I think that's fair. I don't know if we're going to get Red Hot Ronnie James back here before we conclude, but I would say for the Big Bone Man, for Red Hot Ronnie James, and for myself, I'd probably all go with Miles. I think that's a worthy nominee for this week because he did set the overall sack record. Good job out of him. Oh, we might have Red Hot Ronnie James back. There he is.
I'm back.
Are you alive? Back.
Yeah, I'm back. Live shows. Woo.
I just nominated Miles Garrett for Dog of the Week across the board for all three of us. So
I wasn't going to do that this week.
Oh, you're going with somebody else? Who you got?
I got Miles Garrett.
You've got Miles Garrett yourself? Okay, well, Bowen and I are also going Miles Garrett. No, there's no one else that even had
there's no one else. There's no one else. Shador, even with the, you know, leading the drive at the end, and Schmidt with the game winner, redeemed himself earlier in the year, which is kind of special probably for him doing it against Cincinnati when that's when it kind of all went south at the beginning of the year. But, yeah, I mean, it's Miles Garrett. Everybody's going to vote for Miles Garrett. I don't know why we have to ask everybody, but I'm going to ask everybody. I'm going to have you guys vote again tomorrow, and it's going to be Miles Garrett, or Miles Garrett. So you choose. Choose wisely.
Fair. You got anything else you want to discuss?
No, Miles Garrett is the best defensive player that the Browns have ever had. James Tinchy on Facebook, you can suck it. Miles Garrett will forever be in the record books as the all-time sack leader, at least until somebody steps up and comes along and breaks that. But
I'm just glad that's the route that I took at the start of this year, which is I'm done with the Miles Garrett criticism because he is the best defensive player we've ever had. And then it just so happened that same year he set the NFL sack record. So.
Yeah. And to be fair to James Tinchy, who I call out all the time for hating on Miles Garrett, 'cause that's all he does. There's other people that say the same things you do. Occasionally last year we said the same things, but
well, that's why I said at the beginning of the year, like, I can't do it anymore though, because like, while there may be fair criticism at times of Miles, like, he's the best player on the field. So I can't blame anything on him anymore.
Yeah. Like, his job is to rush the passer. He is the best in the world at rushing the passer. That's what he does. I mean,
hippie picks. Good question. So this will be, in fact, our final live show of this season. We will continue to pump out shows here.
It's funny because his name is actually Twat. It's Twat.
We'll continue to pump out shows here pretty much through the Super Bowl, just to kind of track the rest of the happenings in the NFL. Yeah, and obviously, it looks like we are headed toward a coaching search, so
we might take one or 2 weeks off between that, probably 1 week off between now and then. I know I'm on vacation 1 week anyways, so but for the most part, yes, still weekly shows through the Super Bowl, and then I think our final show of the season, our final regularly scheduled show, is the week after the Super Bowl, so like the Thursday after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so we'll take a short break there. We'll come back with a draft special, and we may have a couple of shows depending on what events we get involved in during the off season. But then we usually start back up in and around training camp, kind of simultaneously. So we will take some time off here. But we appreciate you listening, and appreciate you jumping in with comments all season long.
Yeah, it's been phenomenal. Everybody that's joined the live show, we really, really appreciate it. Kenny, do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, I do.
Should I sit back for this one? Should I just?
No, I mean, I don't have anything written down or anything, over here. But I just want to make myself very clear, because I feel like the last 2 weeks, if it feels like I've softened my position on Kevin Stefanski.
Oh, you love Kevin.
An awful coach, and keeping Kevin or keeping Andrew Barry around. That's definitely not the case. I was simply pointing out that for folks that like Shador and want Shador to have a chance, I think his best chance at seeing playing time next season is for one or both of those guys to stick around. But that being said, you saw today 1,000 different reasons why both of these guys need to go. The lack of depth, the lack of talent, the lack of execution on offense, the lack of imaginative play calling. We knew we were going to see a reverse because that's the only thing that we can do. And
we almost dropped it.
All of those things combined, like, this team badly needs a full reset. I have no use for Kevin Stefanski going forward. If he goes to the New York Jets and Giants and wins a Super Bowl next year, good for him. Like, I could care less. I will not have any negative emotions or feelings about whatever he does next in life. I don't care. I will also say this about Kevin, just while I'm kind of going off saying, hey, I don't care about Kevin at all. Kevin did provide stability for this organization for the last few years. He brought this team to the playoffs and took this team to a level where they were semi-competitive and competitive-ish for a certain period of time. And some of that was some of the inner workings and personnel that, like, John Dorsey had laid, and even Sashi Brown to an extent with the tanking and the rebuild. So, but Kevin did deliver on that. And I think where I'm at with Kevin is where a lot of people were with Baker Mayfield after we lost the divisional playoff to the Kansas City Chiefs, which is he's not the guy to take you to the next step. Kevin came here, he did his job, which what was required of him, which was to provide stability to this franchise and at least start winning football games. Because for most of my adult life, this team just never won anything. And
no.
So winning, we have had some small bright spots here over the last 6 years here or so, which has been good. But he's not the guy at this point to continue to move this thing forward and take this franchise to the next level, which is consistently being competitive and consistently being able to challenge for the division crown and for playoff runs. And, I take the Super Bowl off the table with any coach as an expectation, because I don't think that's fair to hold coaches to Super Bowls. There's 32 teams. They're all worth billions of dollars and everybody's trying to win. Yep. And only one team gets it each year. So is it great if you can win 2 out of 4 years or 2 out of 5 years? And yeah, great. It's legacy stuff that cements you into the Hall of Fame for sure. But I would honestly take where the Pittsburgh Steelers have been for the last decade and a half, which is the last 2 decades, really, which is they don't have losing seasons. They have a shot in the playoffs. We don't know what'll happen if they're going to win a game or not, but they've at least got the opportunity in the playoffs, and they play competitive football year in and year out. That's what I want for this Cleveland Browns franchise, is to be able to turn on the TV on Sunday and have an expectation that I'm going to see quality football and there's a good chance that they're going to win. In fact, I'd like to see them consistently win more games than they're going to lose. They ever win a Super Bowl? I don't know. It's really hard to do. It's kind of fluky. You got to be healthy at the right time. You got to peak at the right time. Yep. There's a million variables that go into a successful Super Bowl run. But can you get there? Can you be in the conversation as one of the top 12 teams in the NFL year over year? Kevin's not the guy to do that, which is fair and fine, right? Like, in all things in life that require growth, you crawl, you walk, you run. Kevin took us from crawl to walk, and that's as far as you're going to get with Kevin. That's a ceiling, and that's fine. He had to get you there. He had to get you from crawl to walk. The guy that will take you from walk to run is somebody else, and it's going to have to be somebody else. So all that to say, I fully hope that they part ways with Kevin. I would also like to see them part ways with Andrew Berry. I know we had a good draft this year, but if you look at this team and the offensive line that has been assembled, this wide receiver room has been assembled, it's absolute hot garbage. And that was all done and orchestrated by this guy that brought in Deshaun Watson and did the guaranteed contract and created the cap hell and the turmoil. All of the personnel moves that have been simultaneous with the Stefanski regime, they've been lockstep really up until this year on all these things. So he does not get a pass here either. I want to see both of these guys gone, and I want a full reset. I want them to build this team in the right way and be competitive year over year. And these two guys are not the two to do it. That's my final thought.
Yeah. And just to piggyback off of that, my final thought is good riddance, Kevin Stefanski. Yeah, I mean, we've talked at length about why we don't like Kevin Stefanski. You just went on a pretty long tirade there about why we don't like Kevin Stefanski. And it, yeah, it's just the worst offensive scheme I've probably ever seen in my life. It's just year in and year out of bad. There's no discipline. There's no accountability. There's pre-snap penalties. There's bad clock management. Just all kinds of things. Bad calls on the field in general, just when we should go for it, when we shouldn't go for it, when to be aggressive, when to not be aggressive. All of those things I'm sick of watching. But then on top of it, you just have the simple fact that he can't answer any questions. We constantly get the, we've got to be better. I've got to be better. It starts with me, and we will be better. But we're never better. We're never better. We've never been better. And I'm just tired of it. I mean, coach the aggressiveness out of Baker Mayfield. He's coaching the aggressiveness out of Shedeur Sanders. People like to sit there and tell you that he hasn't had any quarterbacks. He's had 14 different quarterbacks since 2021. Not saying that all of them were winners, just saying he probably should have found one somewhere along the line.
And I can't buy that either, because the Deshaun Watson move, that was their swing. That was their swing at getting their guy.
And I was getting there. So the mind you, this is the guy that chose to come here for Baker Mayfield. Then he chose to move on from Baker Mayfield for Deshaun Watson. And as much as people want to say that wasn't his move, he was definitely involved with that. You don't sign off on that. And that was the story. You talked about this. That was part of the story, was that he was the final ace up our sleeve. We sent him down to talk to Deshaun Watson, and Deshaun Watson fell in love with his scheme and everything that he did. How that's even possible, I don't know, because his scheme is ass. But he also chose not to bring Flacco back in 2024 and then bring Flacco back in 2025 when he was a year further down the line and kind of the magic was all used up. And he overdrafted Dillon Gabriel and gave him starters reps in practice and let him play for half the season when he was clearly not the answer. Not to mention we're top 10 in pass attempts the last three seasons, again this season. And what do we have to show for that? We've literally never finished above 14th as an offense since he's been here.
Well, it's just a non sequitur, right? If you're going to say, if the defense of Kevin is he hadn't had a good quarterback, he hasn't had the right quarterback or a guy that you could win games with a quarterback.
But I would argue, who is the right quarterback?
You consistently throw the ball more than it. Like, what coach doesn't say, well, then we better be darn good at running the football if we don't have a good quarterback here?
And nope, the crazy part about that around is, the yard. You had Nick Chubb for most of his time here.
Yeah.
And now you have Quinshon Judkins. And for most of this year, even though he had a decent rookie season, obviously he ended up hurt, but you didn't utilize him properly. So, and you haven't, and this goes back to your Barry comments, we haven't built an offensive line for any of these people. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. And so I guess my point is, regardless of what's going on, good riddance Kevin Stefanski, because it doesn't matter all the other discussions we're going to have. It doesn't matter about should they stay with Shedeur Sanders, should they go with a quarterback high in the draft, should they do any of this. It doesn't matter, because if Kevin Stefanski is your head coach next year, your offense will be ass, your offensive scheme will be ass, and your quarterback will be ass. It doesn't matter. You've got to get this guy out of the building. He did what he needed to do here. He kind of, I guess he built stability, but again, I would argue we've had 14 different quarterbacks since 2021. So is that really stability? I don't know. I keep hearing that word, but I've seen just chaos since he's been here, whether it be in the locker room, on the field, or both. It doesn't matter. It's been chaos. Yeah, stability, because we've had the same head coach and GM for 6 years. That's the only stability we've had. But good riddance, Kevin Stefanski. I'm done with you. Yeah, so that's my final thought. With that, I mean, Kenny, you got anything else to add here?
That was my final thought. I'm out of thoughts.
All right. Well, let me remind everybody to call the Burning River Sportscast Hot Take Hotline one more time. Everybody that's on here live, James, Frank, Hippie, Dewey, all these other guys, make sure you're calling the Hot Take Hotline, 330-227-8081. Where's the number, Kenny?
That 330-227-8081.
330-227-8081. Call now. We'll go ahead and listen to those hot takes on air, and we'll put them on our show on Thursday. And be sure to check out our gear, www.thetappanmedia.com/shop. As I said earlier, we got Cincinnati is in Kentucky gear. We've got River, our official show mascot here. We got all kinds of River gear. We got the rest of our stuff. Just go check it out. Get something. Support us. Help us. You know, do all that stuff. And that'll do it for us. Kenny, what can we expect this week?
We'll have our normal show out on Thursday this week. We'll do a quick kind of playoff preview, wrap up King of the North, bring any Browns news.
Let's updates. Give everybody an update. Do you know who won King of the North this year, Kenny? Well, we don't know who won. Do you know who lost King of the North, Kenny?
I lost. It was me.
Hey, can we remind everybody what's going to happen to you because you lost?
Sometime between now and next year, I will be getting a full Brazilian wax.
Yes.
To my lady bits.
Yeah. So, feels bad. And how many times have you lost in a row?
Every time.
But we've had King of the North for four seasons, and Kenny has been punished every single season. The punishment only goes to whoever comes in last, and that's always Kenny. So, we'll wrap that up. What else we got?
You know, and we'll bring you whatever, you know, Browns news updates happen. Hopefully Kevin gets fired. We can start talking about a new coach. And then all the other things you listen to the Burning River Sportscast for, like the same takes over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah. Don't forget to check us out on social media. Tappan Media is on Facebook, X, and Instagram at the Tappan Media. I'm Burning River Sportscast. That's this podcast is on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Burning River Sportscast. On X as well at the handle at Burning River Pod.
Pod.
But you can find our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. I'm talking Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, Amazon Music, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Pocket Cast, Castro, Good Pods, and so many more. And please, please, please leave us a review on your podcast app of choice. Hippie, James Frank, Dewey, all these guys that listen to us on our live shows, make sure you're jumping on there and leaving us reviews on your podcast app of choice because it helps us grow, it helps us get seen, and it helps our show just do better. We just want to do better, you know? And that'll do it for us.
I was going to say, somebody is a hippie keeps asking for the David Njoku video. I don't know how Twitter really works, so I'll have Red Hot Running Jams like retweet it or something so you can find it on like our page maybe. Is that a thing? Is that
I would wish it on Kenny, James Frank. I would wish it on Kenny.
Are you even listening to me or are you just talking?
No, I don't care about now? You. I'm laughing at these comments about you getting a Brazilian wax.
Hippie keeps asking about the video of Njoku signing the guy's belly. I said, I don't know how Twitter works. You do that thing. So can you retweet it or something on our social media page on the Twitter?
Yeah. Send me the link. I'll retweet it.
Okay.
I'll put it out on the Twitter.
So it'll be out there. You can find it there.
Yeah. Kenny's getting a Brazilian wax. That sounds like a problem.
Don't just be a part of the problem, be the whole damn problem.
And only you can prevent river fires. Burning River Sportscast.
Burning River Sportscast.
Good night,
thank
Cleveland.
You all for a fun year of live shows.
The Browns suck, but this was fun.
Yeah, this was fun. So,
good night, Cleveland.
Good night, Cleveland.
Good night, Akron.
Good night.